Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1 through 7, and we're going to talk about something that I really think is going to be important for us going forward in our lives. How many of you want to go forward in your life, in your Christian life? Let me see your hands. You want to go forward. So what I want to talk to you about is something that I've spoken about for years. It's something very, very key. It's something that's going to help us, and it's about the cutting edge. Everyone, turn around to someone and say, all right. I didn't think you'd do it, but praise the Lord, you did. That makes me feel happy. Amen. Are you all there? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, all right then. So he went with them. He didn't obviously say, all right then. He actually said, I will go. But all right then is what we would say. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Now, on the surface of it, this sounds like a good thing that's taking place. It sounds like these disciples of the prophet, because that's what the sons of the prophets were, they were a group of disciples. They were a community of learners that were learning about the Word of God and about how to disseminate the Word of God. And they stayed together in a community, and they learned together, they worked together, they operated together. And then Elisha would go in, and Elijah, his predecessor, had instituted some of these things. And Elisha went in, and you had this group called the Sons of the Prophets. And on the surface, it's good to have a group of people that come and want to study the Word and want to do what it is that the Word tells them to do and learn how to discern it. And then what we find that they come to this good place, seemingly, where the place where they're at is too small. How many of you know that sounds like growth? Huh? They come and they say, listen, the place where we're at is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan. We want to go. And when we get there, everyone get a beam. We're all working together and we're going to build our own place. Amen? On the surface, this sounds like a good plan. Amen? Then one said, please go with your servants to Elisha. Come, would you go with us? We're going to go anyway, but would you go with us? He said, all right, I'll come. And when they came to the Jordan, they started cutting down trees. Picture the scene. Here they are, there's a bunch of disciples, a bunch of students, a bunch of prophets. I mean, if you know, sometimes when you get a load of prophets together, it can be an interesting scenario. Huh? But then something happened. They started cutting down trees because they were going to build themselves a place where they could dwell, a place to live, a place to inhabit, a place where they could take care of their business. And then in verse 5 it says this, but as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. On the surface, this looks good. It looks like there's growth. It looks like something's taking place that is positive. Because when people engage in the life of faith and you really are fully in, then the chances are you're going to grow, right? But you want to make sure you're growing in the right direction, in the right ways. We understand all that. But what does it mean when I'm talking about the cutting edge? What is the cutting edge? How many of you have ever heard of that saying before? The cutting edge. Let me see your hands a minute, see if I'm in the right place. You know what the word cutting edge means? The cutting edge is a term that is used to describe effectiveness. In some journals you'll read, it speaks of the highest level of development. So to have the cutting edge as a learner of Jesus Christ means you're really doing it. You're really starting to break down the Word of God. You're really starting to get in the flow of things. You're starting to become who it is you're meant to become, right? That's what it means by having the cutting edge. You're on the forefront. You're right there on the outer limits. You're going for it. How many of you would say that you were going for it right now? You were really on it. You were really going for it. You really wanted it. Let me see your hands. Huh? What's the rest of you doing then? Huh? The cutting edge. Why is it important to have a cutting edge? Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. It says, in the New King James, it says this. It said, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. Huh? In the New Living Translation, it says, using a dull axe requires great strength. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you to succeed. Have you ever tried to cut anything with an axe or a knife? Huh? Some of the men in the men's home are not saying anything. Some of the women in the women's home are all putting their hands up. Have you ever tried to cut something with a blunt edge? How frustrating is it when you're trying to cut something with blunt scissors? Huh? And all it does, it just creases the thing. Huh? And then it comes out all jagged and ragged. Imagine cutting down a tree with a blunt axe. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 3 hours to cut down a tree, I'd take the first 2 hours to sharpen the axe. So when you've got a sharp axe, it cuts into the tree. And therefore, you don't need as much effort. But how many of you know that without the cutting edge, without this development process taking place, without us being where it is that we should be, utilizing the skills and the talents that God gives us and the Word of God that He gives us, sometimes we can be like people that are trying to cut down a tree with a blunt axe. And really what you're doing is you're putting all your effort and energy into doing something with very few results. Are you with me? So having a cutting edge is very, very important. We've seen that these people wanted to grow, they wanted to go forward. But what happened when they went forward? First of all, they kind of checked in. You know, you can tell that this thing possibly wasn't as well thought out as could have been. They wanted to do it. They thought that they could do it. And then they asked the man of God, would you come with us? Huh? Not what do you think, what is the wisdom for this, but we're going to do it. Would you come and bless it? How many of you have ever done something and then asked God to bless it? And then you've had to believe God for a miracle? Huh? Whereas if we do what He says and we use wisdom, we don't need a miracle because we're just going to get blessed. Because that's a byproduct of us doing what God says. Are you with me? So here they were, they're out there, they're doing the thing, they're getting trees, everyone's working together, and this guy pulls up an axe and he starts cutting the tree down, and then all of a sudden, he goes to cut the tree down and the axe head comes off of the axe, mid-swing, and it flops itself into the river. Disaster! Why did it happen? He tells us. He says, alas, master. It was borrowed. You know, sometimes people lose the cutting edge because they operate second hand. You want second hand anointing, second hand information. You're actually flowing in someone else's blessing. Because they're the one that have done the work to sharpen their axe. They're cutting down trees and you're following in their path. You think you're doing well, but in actual fact, you're just getting the leftovers from the person that's actually doing well. And you think that that's good. Because it's borrowed. How many of you have ever borrowed something and you haven't looked after it because it's not yours? Come on, how many of you have ever rented a car? Huh? The only reason why you take care of it is because you might get penalized for not taking care of it. But there's a different thing between using someone else's straighteners and using your own GHD straighteners. Huh? Are you with me? If we don't own it, we might not take care of it. Because if we own it, you're going to make sure that you take care of it. Why? Because you value it. Why? Because you've paid the price for it. And how many of you know, something you don't pay the price for, you're not going to value. Huh? So some breakthroughs that we have in our lives are purely because someone else has paid the price, and then we've walked into the blessing of it afterwards. Huh? We don't own it. If you don't own it, you're not going to maintain it. If you don't maintain it, then when you need it, it might go missing. Are you with this? I mean, we know some people are in the blessing because I pray. Huh? Sometimes I'm in the blessing because my wife prays. Sometimes we're getting a breakthrough because someone else has given. Some of us are in ministry because someone else paid the price. And now here we are getting blessed, but you haven't owned it. Are you with me? Cutting edge is gone. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This guy, he was cutting down. And how much you feel at the end of it when the person who wants you to, you know, who you're doing the work and you've used their thing, they come back and they want their thing back. They want their axe back. And here it is. They gave it to you whole and all you're giving back to them is a big stick. And you know, the problem is that without a cutting edge, all we've got is a big stick. I mean, if you know, leaders that don't ever grow in their leadership, they end up utilizing the big stick method. And they're just trying to beat their followers into submission. Instead of cutting through the trees and cutting a pathway and finding a way through and getting a breakthrough for other people, what they're doing is they're battering people. Huh? In our ministries, in our lifestyles, in our finances, in our relationships. When we lose the cutting edge, it takes a lot more effort to see things get done. This is the situation that this man found himself in. All of a sudden, they're trying to cut down trees and his axe head's gone. And alas, master, it was borrowed. Now, I'm going to have to stump up the price that I didn't want to pay in the first place for a broken axe. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to buy something new and I'm going to have to pay a price for it, I want to get the value of that thing fully. So if I buy an axe and I'm paying a price for an axe, at the end of me paying the price for the axe, I want an axe with a stick and an axe head. This dude was fearing having to pay the price for a whole axe. And all he'd be left with at the end of it was a stick. Huh? Can you see how spiritually this can happen in our lives? That we can lose the cutting edge. And then what happens is, what should be simple, what should be smooth, what should be easy, takes a lot more effort. Have you ever found that? Have you ever noticed that? Has that ever happened in your life before? Where you used to pray and God used to answer and things used to happen. You'd get the parking space. You'd wake up, you'd have a good hair day. Come on now. You'd never put your card into the ATM machine and get nothing out. Are you with me? And I'm talking about nothing because some of you have put your card in and it's even taken your card. Didn't even spit your card back out, let alone 5 and 10, 20 pound notes. Hello? Are you with me? But all of a sudden, it's difficult. It's difficult to pray in the morning. It's difficult to worship the Lord. It's difficult to lift up your hands in the service. It's difficult to believe God for Him to come and do what it is that you need Him to do. It's difficult. It becomes very hard. And it's probably because you've lost the cutting edge. Turn around and look at someone and say, ooh. Huh? Are you with me right now? Elisha then asks a simple question and he gets an amazing answer. Watch this. He asks a simple question and he gets an amazing answer. Elisha said to him, where did it fall? Where did it fall? Very, very simple question. The man said, it's in the river, man. Huh? But Why did he ask, where did it fall? He didn't go back and start asking about what happened to him when he was a baby. He didn't say to him, you know, was anything taking place within your life that would have caused this dramatic event? What he did was, he said to him, you've lost it. Where did it fall? Where did you lose it? This is the question. Where did you lose it? Huh? This takes honesty and also possibly a little bit of soul searching and a little bit of thought to come up with the answer. Especially if it's to do with our spiritual life or our walk of faith. Did you lose your cutting edge when you stopped praying? You used to have a devotional life. You used to wake up in the morning and you'd take time to be with the Lord. And you'd read the Word of God and you'd speak to God and that would set up your day for the rest of the day. But something started creeping in. You started getting up later and later. You started to leave the Bible reading for another day. And it got to the point where the only time you opened your Bible was when you came to church on a Sunday. Or you stopped praying. Huh? Maybe the cutting edge went when you stopped praying. Maybe you got disappointed, or maybe you thought God was too busy, or maybe he didn't hear you anymore, or maybe there was a hard time and you stopped praying, you stopped reading. Maybe you lost it when you stopped worshiping God. You stopped giving him the worship and the glory that he deserves, and you were withholding it. You didn't even realize it at first, but maybe you started withholding it. You went from being at the front with your hands lifted up, huh? Arms up. I'd open wide as the sky. We lift you high. Amen. Sounded like a pub singer. But I mean, if you know, it don't matter what it sounds like to God. It matters what it smells like. Can he smell burning flesh? Can he smell the sacrifice? Huh? Don't matter what you sound like. You ain't impressing God by the way your voice comes out. He's surrounded by seraphim in heaven, perfect beings. He wants to know whether you mean it from your heart. But there you were, one minute you was at the front and now you're at the back. Woo, how many times have I seen that? It's for no wonder that pastors call the back row sinner's row. Huh? Because you start off at the front and then you start creeping back as you mature a little bit. You ain't maturing, you're backsliding. Huh? If you was maturing, you'd be getting forward. But if you're going back and back and back and back and back and back and back, what does that mean? Going back is backsliding. Let's call it what it is. And then at the end, you're at the back. You're not involved. You're not engaged. You're not even lifting up your hands. You're not even worshiping. You're talking to someone else about something else that has nothing to do with the reason why you're in church. Huh? Cutting edge. What about when you stopped turning up? Maybe the cutting edge was lost when you stopped turning up. Some of you know, sometimes we can, you know, we can start making excuses for not coming to stuff because there's stuff on all the time. There's loads of things to do, man. I've got a life. Surely I've got a life. Yeah, but what that means is you don't want to come to church because you want to sit indoors on the couch eating rubbish food, watching rubbish TV. Huh? I can tell you can't take this. Should we flip the message? Should we flip the message? It's all going to be all right. There, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to end up rich and thin. Your teeth are going to be white. Your hair's going to be straight, and it's all going to be good. And all you have to do for that is nothing. Now, sometimes that's what we want to hear. But I don't know about you, but if I've lost something, I want to know how to get it back. Are you with me? And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're not on the cutting edge, slicing through our enemies and telling mountains to move and seeing situations change and praying for the sick and see them getting well and huh? Then maybe we need to get the cutting edge back. Maybe the cutting edge was lost when you stopped turning up. Or maybe it just got lost when you stopped turning up on time. There's nothing holy about being late. It's rude. Huh? Unless there's a real reason for it, it's just rude. But how many of you know that when it starts creeping in, woo! Starts off a couple of minutes. Starts off 5 minutes. Starts off 10 minutes. Now at 11:30 service, you're not getting in until 12 o'clock. Losing the cutting edge, baby. Things are getting difficult now. Huh? Maybe you lost it when you stopped serving. Huh? The greatest among you shall be your servant. Oh, but what about me getting served? What about me getting served? Once you start thinking like that, you start losing the cutting edge. Because then you're putting yourself first. And instead of being great, all of a sudden you're becoming less. Ooh, baby. Maybe you lost it when you stopped listening. Stop learning. Because you know it. Huh? I don't need to listen to the service because I've heard it 50 times before. Baby, you need to learn it, man. Because you're losing it. If you're honest, how many of you would say that at one time or another you might have lost the cutting edge in your spiritual life a little bit? Let me see your hands. It's time for honesty. You lost the cutting edge. See, the thing about losing something is that if you lose something, it's horrible. How many of you have ever lost something? Huh? And you've never been able to find it? Come on now. How many of you have lost your car keys? Your house key, bank card, passport, left shoe. I knew a guy once, he lost his false teeth. I had to visit him in the hospital. He said, I think I've left them in my house. He had an episode. The ambulance came and picked him up. They took him to the hospital. He didn't have his false teeth. He said, they might be in my bedroom. Can you go and look for them? I went and looked. I did find them. I put my hand in a plastic bag and picked them up and then wrapped the plastic bag up like that. Took him up to him. He was laying there in the hospital. Walked in. He went, did you find him? I went, nah. Sorry. He went, what are we going to do? He said, it's all right. I had a word with some old dear down in the other bay down there. She's lent you her spare set. And he was almost so relieved that he would have took that. Because when you lose something, it's horrible. But how do you get it back? How many of you want to know how to get the cutting edge back? Huh? This is going to be deep revelation. Ready? This is deep prophetic revelation. Turn around and look at someone. Say, buckle up, he's going in. This is really, really deep. How many of you know I love to be deep? When I'm preaching and teaching, I love to be the deepest thing. I love to be deep. Huh? If you've lost the cutting edge, this is what you do. Elisha asked him, where did it fall? He told him where it fell. And then what Elisha did, he went and got hold of a piece of wood and threw it in. What? Understand what this wood is symbolic of. Understand that when you lose anything in your Christian life, there is one way and one way alone that you get it back. This piece of wood in that text was a zulon in the Septuagint. It was called a zulon. And this word was a word that was often used, in fact, 20 times in the New Testament to refer to the cross of Christ. So what happened was, he lost his cutting edge. It flew into the water. He went, oh, it's been borrowed. What am I going to do? Elisha said, where did it fall? He took him to the place. Elisha got a tree, a bit of branch, and threw it in. This was symbolic of the work of the cross of Calvary. He lost it. Then the Bible says that it rose up. That bit of wood weren't magnetic. Wood and metal were not magnetic. But the wood rose it up. Are you with me? This is symbolic of the cross. The same thing that got you in is the same thing that keeps you in. The same thing that got you a cutting edge and caused you to be effective spiritually in the first place is the same thing that you have to go back to if you're losing it. You go back to the cross. You go back to that place of surrender. You go back to the place of trust. You go back to the place of obedience. How deep is that? Huh? You go back to Jesus. And then Elisha said, now pick it up for yourself. Then you take responsibility again. Are you with me? It's up to you to pray. I can pray for you, but 10 minutes later, after you leave the building, whatever I prayed against might come back. What are you going to do? I can give you a breathing space. I can break down the Word of God. I can study for 10 hours a day. And I can break it down simply to you. But what are you studying? Is it secondhand? I can give, but what are you giving? I can serve, but what are you serving? And vice versa. You've got to start taking ownership and responsibility for yourself once again. Then you get the cutting edge back. Then, all of a sudden, what was hard ain't so hard no more. Then you start flowing again in the Holy Spirit. Then you know how to discern between good and evil, dark and light, right and wrong. Then you get wisdom again. And then your life becomes successful again. Father, in this place, if we have taken you for granted because of corporate success, if we've taken you for granted because of someone else's sacrifice, if we've taken our relationship with you for granted because we've been under the covering of someone else's wings and shadow, then forgive us. We come back to that place once again where we are naked, empty, and awed in your presence. We want to own our relationship with you again. We want to take that responsibility that you've given us and not bury it, but invest it wisely. We don't want the enemy of our souls to be facing us with a blunt sword in our hands and plastic armor and a helmet that doesn't cover the places it needs to cover. We don't want to be wearing sandals that are untied. We don't want a belt that is falling down. We don't want a shield that is clean or covered in someone else's blood, but not ours. Lord, take us back to the cutting edge. Come and stand up, lift up your hands. I want you to be honest right now. I want you to be honest right now. Because you know it creeps in. There's a time when comfort begins to creep in. You end up without a cutting edge. You end up with a blunted edge. You end up living safe but not saved. You end up not overtly backsliding but just standing in the same place, thinking that that's going to suffice. You end up holding back, not pressing in. You end up looking for someone else to take responsibility so that you don't have to. You want someone else to pray for you because you're not praying for yourself. If we're honest, have we got the cutting edge? Has this church become blunted? Has your life become blunted? Has your faith become blunted? You're fighting the devil with a butter knife or a spoon. I think we can get the cutting edge back right now. This whole day has been about retrieving victory from the jaws of defeat. It's about the antidote to the creeping poison of inactivity and ineffectiveness that comes upon us. It's about you've come from the mountaintop and now you're going down the hill to the valley. Lift up your hands. Tell the Lord, I surrender. I surrender, God. I surrender, Lord. Right where you're at. If you're watching this on Facebook, lift up your hands wherever you're at, unless you're driving. Because then you'd crash. And then, anyway, you shouldn't be watching this driving. Turn it off. Lift up your hands and start to surrender. Be honest with God. I want to own it again, Lord. I want to own you and be owned by you. I surrender, God. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Master. Every area of my life. Hallelujah. Come on, come out to this altar right now. Let's be honest before God. Come. He's going to take you back to where you lost it. You know where you lost it. You know where it started going missing. You know where your cutting edge started getting blunt. You know when things started getting hard. Come on, fill this place up. Fill this place up. Fill this place up and say, Lord, you know, I don't want to be going through this anymore. I want to be going forward into victory. This is not a coincidence. This is not that we're just trying to beat you up with the word of God. This is where we're at. It's a season. But it's okay because seasons change. Just as you don't wear a puffer jacket in the summer and you don't wear shorts in the winter time, so you have to know what to put on and put off at any given season. So right now, this is a season for getting sharpened back up. Withholding nothing. Come on, worship the Lord. Lift up your hands and sing. Withholding nothing. Where did it fall? I surrender. Did it fall when you got that job? To you. Did you lose it when you started on that course? What about when you hooked up with that person? Did you lose it then? Where did the cutting edge go?
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Holding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender. I surrender.
Come on, come back to the foot of the cross. You're not getting saved again. You're not getting born again again. Jesus doesn't have to pay the price again. But just remember. Remember what he paid for. Remember where you're at. Remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. Remember what he's done. And value it again. Just value it again. Remember the price that was paid. Remember the blood that was shed. Remember the purpose that he has for your life. Remember the plan.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Come on, you was full on once. Now you're double-minded. You was ready to drop everything for Jesus. Now you're ready to drop Jesus.
I give you all of me. Say, King Jesus,
Yeah, come on. Come on, pick it back up. Pick it back up. Pick up your worship. Pick up your prayer life. Pick up the word of God. Pick up the battle standard. Raise the battle cry. Come on, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Come on, it wasn't even stolen from you. You gave it away. Pick it back up. Victory Outreach Manchester. Now is the time for the warriors to arise. Get it back. Take it back. Jesus.
Jesus, everything I give over, give it all over, holding nothing, holding
nothing. Come on, sing.
Withholding nothing.
Come on, just the voices.
I surrender.
Come on.
All to you.
Own it. Don't let the worship team do the work for you right now. Worship the Lord.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Everything, Lord.
Everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing. Not my love or my rights. Not my prayer or my worship. Not my word life and my study life. Not my service. Not my joy. Now, right now, we're going to take 5 minutes. We're going to close this service right where you're at, all over this place. I want you to pick it back up. You know where it's at. You speak into that situation right now, and you take back that gift. You take back that opportunity. You take back that cutting edge, and you start to get back to that place where God was working in you. You knew you were going forward. You knew that there was something buzzing within your life. You knew that something was shifting and taking place. You knew that he was in you, that he was working in you, and he was working through you. Come on, you knew that. But there came a point when it started drifting away. But right now, you pick it back up for yourself. You take hold of that thing. You start to grab a hold of that testimony again. You start to grab a hold of that prayer life again. And you start to grab a hold of that faith again. Come on. Come on, you start to grab a hold of that area of ministry again. You start to grab a hold of that victory again. Come on, speak into it. Lift it up before the Lord. Come on, it's time to make a comeback. You've had a setback, now you're making a comeback. Hallelujah. Come on, no backsliding. Anyone who backslides after this message, good luck. Because there will be no more God bless. Let's start to worship again. Come on, let that sweet aroma of worship rise up before the King of Kings. Come on, sing a new song to him. Come on, sing a new song. Sing worship. Sing that song to him. Come on, sing to him, sing to him, sing to him. Come on, worship, worship, church. We're getting a breakthrough right now. Spirit of God sweeping into this place. It's coming like a wind, watch. It's coming like a wind, like a rain, like a fire. All the elements are going to be involved in this thing. You're coming back to that place, that heart of worship, that place of breakthrough, that place of preeminence. Come on, pick it back up yourself. Monday depends on this. Tuesday depends on this. Wednesday depends on this.
To you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing.
I give you everything.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Every doubt, every fear.
I give
every
you
disappointment.
All of me.
Every negative area.
I give you
every stronghold. Every bad thought.
I give you all of me. I give you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh.
Come on, all over this place, lift up your hands and sing, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. One more time.
Sweet
one more time. Tell the Lord. Come on, tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. Yeah, release it. Jesus. Lift it up before Him.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.